David, you're useless.
You brought your computer?
He's supposed to be this computer genius here.
I know.
All right.
He does a good job for me.
Will you believe it? We're on episode 16.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Are we recording?
Well, I've been recording all along here.
Oh, okay.
Well, we've all been festooned in our faces, but that's okay.
Oh, that's good stuff. Thank you. Didn't need it, but it was really good.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to episode 16 of Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. Today's episode, Theatrical Life After High School or College.
Or even during.
Or even during.
Yes, during. Let's stress during.
During, that's right.
Use all available bodies, during.
The impetus for this episode is a question that came to us from someone named Ashton. I'm not going to use his last name, but Ashton wrote us this question, asked us to talk about the differences between doing high school and college theater and making the transition into community theater, and you know, what are the differences and what should young actors maybe be prepared for in making that switch.
Okay.
And
obviously, we've all been out of high school and college for quite a while, so we'll try and search our memory banks.
Well, I think the main thing is, of course, is that the high school and college, and maybe especially high school, is really oriented around giving students an experience. Okay, it's not necessarily the idea of doing, you know, a Sacco show that's going... Sacco, there's an old word. Sacco.
Sacco, I almost...
Oh,
Sacco,
well.
I had to think about that one.
Or Bafo. Bafo's the other word.
Bafo and Sacco, the other word. Right.
But it's not really... The idea is not necessarily to put on a show that sells well and makes money as much as it is about giving students an opportunity to be on stage and get the experience of acting or working crew or whatever. You know, it's more... I guess it's more preparatory... and learning experience. Plus, there's other aspects of it too, and they generally try to give as many students as possible an opportunity in some shows. So they tend to do some large shows anyway. And,
sure.
Yeah. Usually, if they're doing a musical, which around here all the high schools seem to do them all at the same weekend, it's an all school thing. In other words, you don't have to be taking drama. Well, I don't even know if they have drama classes anymore, but you don't have to be involved in theater, especially in order to be involved in the big all-school musical, which is kind of neat because then it gives other people that maybe it's not their primary interest, but they want to see what it's like, and so they'll come and sing and dance a little or move sets or something, and maybe they'll find out they really, really like it, you know. But I think in college, if you're studying that, you know, obviously there's a whole different feel about it.
And the quality tends to take a step up, although there are some very good college high school drama departments.
Right. Yeah.
But that probably isn't the norm, I would say. I mean, it's generally the level does get better when you head for college.
Oh, I think it gets much better from what I've, you know, experienced, especially now when they're cutting out, you know, all the arts and it's getting very difficult to get really, really good drama teachers. Definitely it's better in college. But if the interest is there, you can experiment with it and experience it in high school.
Oh, yeah.
It may not be at the top level, but you can. And there are high schools around here where the results are very good. Results are very good.
I think, when you transition from your high school programming, and there are some high schools that have quite an extensive theater program, even theater classes. But as you move into college, you're looking at, they usually create a program of shows throughout a year or throughout even like a four-year period, for example, that will help move their students through a wide variety of different styles so that you're as a performer, an actor, you're learning all these different styles. So that by the time you graduate, you're well-rounded. And at the same time, knowing full well that once you come to the community theater, you're more than likely not necessarily going to experience those things again. I community theater for me is a business, and how, what kind of shows are going to sell to my audience. And,
yeah.
And
right.
So, you know, I'm not going to be able to do
Shaw or Antigone
or on my stage, although I love those shows. And thankfully I love them, I think, because I studied them in high school and in college,
right.
And I really had a, grew to have an appreciation for them. And would I love to present them? I sure would. But do I think they're going to sell?
No.
Yeah, we
I can't imagine a good tragedy selling on my stage.
We have one actor in our theater who just wants us to do Cyrano. And you think, I don't know. I mean, I can't believe that it would sell.
Yeah.
It, you know,
it's unfortunate today that in community theater, because trust me, I'm older than all of you and used to be in New Jersey anyway, in community theater, you could do shows like that. I mean, classics, mm-hmm. and people would come and see them, but the audience has dwindled down to nothing. And so now with a community theater, everything is the bottom line. As John said, it's unfortunate, but it's true. What's going to put people in the seats? What's going to sell tickets? What is going to interest corporates of being for being sponsors of a particular
right.
show? The focus totally changes from college, where you may do Shakespeare and Shaw and Ibsen and all the wonderful classics, and when you get out, you're not going to see them again, mm-hmm. unless you go to a college production, you know,
or unless you go to like a Shakespeare festival.
Well,
or something
right.
Or, but and I think one of the things that happens also is when you transition from high school or community theater, high school or college, then into community theater, is sometimes production aspects are maybe stronger and sometimes not. I mean, I've seen some really bad community theater as well. But I think one of the cool things that you learn when you come, I mean, everything is like a learning situation, but when you come to community theater, now suddenly you're working with people that are from a wide array of background.
Right.
You know, so not you're not just working with high school kids anymore that are all your age and who all have similar interests.
And you'll have somebody who'll be in high school, you have, you know, some kid who might be younger than you playing your dad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And now when you come to community theater, you're actually working in a situation where the man who plays your father is probably the right age to play your father.
Right.
Right.
And so you start to kind of grow an appreciation for what it takes to create and how long people have been creating and becoming the actors that they are. So it's almost like a mentoring. Now you've kind of got a mentoring thing that can happen in community theater that you don't have in a college or a high school situation, where you're really learning from a teacher. Now, not only are you learning from your director, which is kind of your teacher now, but you're also learning from the people around you through their life experience.
You think expectations are higher in a community theater than in a college?
I don't think so. I think it
just depends on it.
It always depends on the organization and what the expectations are.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, if you go to a high school that really appreciates the arts, their expectations for your productions are going to be high. And I think then you take that expectation with you to new venues. So, you know, luckily, I think we have a high expectation for our events that we produce.
Yeah, we do.
So, but, and I think everybody has high expectations. Sometimes it's just how high can you reach, you know, and I don't know. Anyway.
Well, and it also, I mean, we're kind of focusing in on the actors here, but also, depending on where you go, colleges especially, but some high schools have really up to the state of the art production stuff. I mean, lights and sound and a scene shop where you can build Noah's Ark, for Lord's sake, if you really want to. And it's like, you're not going to get that pretty much, I don't think, right off the bat in a community theater.
No.
It gives you a lot more experience in jury rigging things. Mm-hmm. I remember years ago we used to just patch things together as best we could when we needed more lights than we really had, you know.
Right. It,
but now, today, you're more conscious of safety things, so you don't do that. But you may come out of a college that has, like, an extremely wealthy theater department, and therefore you're going to be working with all the latest technology. It's amazing, but it's going to stop when you get out of college.
I was going to say, I've had people come and look at my light console and go, 1987? What is it? What? 1987 is it? That was, and I feel really good that I have a computer
right.
on that.
So, right. I'm not so sure that it's great for them to work with that kind of stuff if they're going to really go on and even in some semi-professional or off the beaten path professional theaters don't have that kind of equipment, and you better learn how to work with what you've mm-hmm. got, you know.
And another reason why maybe experimenting with inside community theater before you get out of school can be kind of enlightening,
exactly.
because you suddenly see what it really is like. Because after working with a lot of small professional companies, and even some that are considered to be very strong professionals or semi-professional companies, it's not about the technical aspects. It's really about what the product is on stage.
Right.
And you can do lots of wonderful things and have a small budget and have no lighting grid and no, no real good sound production. But
well,
you can
we've
do
had
a lot
that experience
things.
Where we've had shows that really the stage experience was, better than the same play with a lot more tech. Plugged into it. We've seen that, with shows we've done and in other places. But I think too, you're talking about jerry rigging things, and I don't know if that's really the exact term for it in all cases. But the fact of the matter is that one of the joys of community theater is inventing the solutions to different problems to try to get where you've got to go. Now, I mean, John is our technical director at our theater, so maybe it's not always a joy for you to come up with some of these solutions. But it's always interesting to see, okay, how can we can't afford that? What can we afford, and how can we make this happen? And that is sometimes involves putting several heads together and several different expertises. Is that a word? And making something work.
Which is, I think, the cool thing about community theater, because we have just this wide array of people inside community theater who are there to produce theater when they're there, but during the day they may work. In a trailer factory, doing technical work in a trailer factory, or they may be a bank president, or they may be an architect, or they may be a lawyer. But they have all these different backgrounds that they bring to together as one mind, basically, when we come to the theater. So it is fun, and there are times when I have a terrible time trying to figure out how to fix something or make something work, and then I go to the people that I know have that. Kind of that expertise who are part of my organization, and they come in and they create with me and brainstorm and
I think you always have to love a challenge if you're going to work in community theater. That's off stage, on stage, whatever. You really have to be ready to just let it all hang out and put it together.
Yeah, you also have to be kind of a scrounge sometimes, right? And that's true.
David.
You scrounge for stuff. I mean, no, I don't mean it that way.
I know what you
mean.
But
it's like, oh, gee, let's see. Maybe we could go and get some, foam board from this company that makes boxes in town. So we're going to go scrounge some of that. We can use that to make this or that.
I need some light specials, but I don't have any money to go buy the light. But we have coffee cans. So if I take a 100 watt flood bulb and stick it in the bottom of a coffee can, oh, look, I got a Fresnel.
We're not the only ones. I remember a couple of years ago, I was interviewing a gal who was a props person for Star Wars.
Wow.
For Star Trek, the TV show, and later on in the movies. And you can't believe the stuff that she went and bought in little dinky shops, just ordinary things, and turned them upside down or put them on their side. And all of a sudden, it was part of the Klingon Empire. So you can, you have to be inventive.
Right.
You have to be inventive with a lot of stuff.
Well, nothing is as it seems on stage. And the other thing I think you have to remember too is a lot of times in high school and college theaters, the technical aspect is separate from the acting side of it. And you may actually have professionals who handle most of the tech. And in a high school situation, there may be a club that does the set building, which involves students, but for the most part, it's under the responsibility of say the person who manages the shop or the stage or something like that. And so students don't get to see as much in some cases, especially of the technical side, because there tends to be sort of an emphasis on the on the acting, mm-hmm. I think, in high school and maybe college as well.
Well, I think in college, if you're going for a degree in theater, today I think you get to specialize when you get a junior, senior year, but when you're starting in, you go through everything. You have to uh-huh. work props, you have to make costumes, you have to build sets so that you get a total appreciation of what every aspect of that theater is, which, and I think that's a really help when you come into community theater, because that's what you have to do, is everything.
It is. I think one of the reasons why I have the job I have, which I enjoy, because I knew how to sew, I knew how to paint, I knew how to do construction, I knew the basics of lighting, so that all those things came together and made me like really kind of a perfect person for a small operation.
You are, John.
So. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, just
yeah.
Anyway,
so the experience. So I guess we would say that the experience that people get in high school and college is not. It's certainly, you know, obviously the best place to start, but it's going to be a different experience when you get to a community theater. You're going to probably end up wearing more hats, you know, in a community theater, or you at least have the opportunity to wear a lot more hats in a community theater than you. Perhaps do in educational settings in a general way. I mean, obviously, college education, they see everything, but eventually they kind of specialize.
Mm-hmm.
And so, whereas I don't know that there's that much specialization in community theater, you know, unless you just decide I'm only going to act, I'm never going to do anything else.
It depends on the size of the community theater.
Right.
You know, if you're looking at something compared, most community theaters are the size of the one that I worked for, or they're maybe even smaller. But there are some larger community theaters, for example, like Kalamazoo Civic Theater or Indianapolis Civic, that are local, or Fort Wayne Civic, that yeah. actually have a number of people on staff who are professionals and trained to do what they do. And they have much larger budgets. But for, I think for the most part, you're right. The majority of community theaters are small and...
Yeah, and so everybody has to kind of pitch in. Take a crack at doing everything. And then eventually, you find out what area is you do best or is of most interest to you, and that's what you keep coming back to. Do we have anything else we were going to segue into?
Oh, well, I was going to say, one of the things that was part of this, that I was going to talk about the fact that Phantom of the Opera, which is the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, has recently been, has been released for production by high school and college theaters. Now, community theaters and, I guess, regional theaters are not going to have the opportunity to do this show. And, does this mean that, you know, maybe I should go back and get my GED if I want to do Phantom, or is this even a good idea? I have really mixed feelings about, you know, why would you even want a high school to do it? And maybe
one, because they can make money doing it. I mean,
well, that's true.
People that lease the rights to do it. But I don't think if you're going to walk into a high school to see Phantom of the Opera, you don't expect the Phantom to come down out of the ceiling on a
huge chandelier.
Yeah.
You don't expect to see all the extra effects that you'd see in a Broadway production or even a national tour. So the expectations are lower, and it's kids enjoy doing that,
mm-hmm.
and parents love to go and see them.
So the emphasis in that would be probably on the music itself and
I
on the acting,
so.
And you try to. And the special effects are kind of, you know, what you can do, but they aren't going to be what Broadway can do.
No, they aren't.
Yeah,
they aren't. I would be interesting to see. I'm sure they must have cut some stuff out.
I would assume. I mean, I haven't seen the script, but
thing.
Well, I don't even know if they call them junior. They're maybe about 10 minutes shorter. For example, I know Les Mis is about 10 minutes shorter.
For the high school version.
Yeah. It is frustrating to me, though, as a producer that works with adult performers, that I can't produce these shows because they're not available to me. And I have some people who would be wonderful in the roles if I could just do the show, but I'm not allowed to. Now, I think that I am allowed to do them if I do them with only high school students. So I could ask to do Phantom of the Opera with high school kids.
Or we all could go back to high school.
Or get, go
get there you
right.
go.
Go back and get my GED.
Now, well, then there's another problem with community theater. Even if you had the rights, Do you have the facility to do
maybe,
them
and
in?
Maybe that's the reason why they're not releasing them, is because most community theaters, as we've just said, in the last 10 minutes, most don't have that kind of a capacity.
No.
Now, one of the things that they say here, too, is that, and this is sort of a, seems like a big deal, they are not releasing any recorded soundtracks to go along with it.
No.
So you'll have to have your own orchestra to do this show if you want to do it.
That's probably why, because high schools can put together a big orchestra, whether it's good or not, they can put it together, and colleges.
Right.
But a community theater, you know.
Yeah, to put a 22-piece orchestra together in a community theater is very difficult.
Right.
Yeah.
But even at a high school level, I mean, frankly, you know, Phantom, and I'm not a huge fan of the show, frankly, but it requires an orchestra that just blows you away.
I know.
I mean, really, to do it right. So, you know, some high schools actually have pretty good orchestras, but I wouldn't say the majority do.
The majority are going to probably
pass on that.
Or destroy it.
They're going to squeak through it, we might say.
Yeah.
However, Les Mis was released several years ago to high schools and colleges, and the one high school production that I saw locally was amazing. They built their own turntable. The orchestra was huge and good. The voices were excellent. I mean, it just blew me away. Mm-hmm. Now, that's totally different. Everybody was kind of in rags and scruffing around, you know. So to go from that into Phantom, where there is a lot more theatricality Phantom than Les Mis. So I don't know how that would work. That's what I mean. Yeah, fancier costumes, bigger sets, you know, a lot of tricks in Phantom.
Candles
which Phantom is pretty dull.
Candles coming out of the floor and people falling through the floor.
I was going to say, people jumping, 15 feet through a hole in the floor.
Right.
I wouldn't.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't want to do that with a high school kid, but that's, you know.
Yeah.
Some high school kids I might want to do that with.
It would be interesting.
You're right.
I know a few high school kids I'd like to do that with. Dropping through a hole from 15 feet. That's all right.
Thanks a lot.
I know some adults that I'd like to do that
with. Just kidding. Yeah, that's true.
Okay, we're cutting this all out.
Are we cutting this out?
Yeah,
No,
we're not. We're not. Gee, what
Well, you know, I think
now
that
Marcia knows there's an edit button, now she wants to cut out all the nasty stuff.
I think it would be interesting to see if any schools around here, high school, and there's a lot of colleges around here, and see if any of them bite on the Phantom offer. You know, it would be really interesting to see.
Yeah.
I can think of one high school, two probably, that might want to do it and maybe could, you know. But we'll wait and see.
Yep.
And Andrew Lloyd Webber apparently himself, his own self, said that they were pleased with some of the results in the student productions that they had seen already of this. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, he felt that it was, you know, they were apparently adequate at least. So,
well, you know, I don't think there's probably one high school teacher that's going to, you know, put the show on the season if they don't think they've got the vocalist to produce the show. I can't imagine that you would let kids walk out on stage and suffer trying to sing anything from Phantom of the Opera or Les Mis if you knew that the kids weren't vocally ready or able to produce that show.
And, you know, if you look at that, I'm sure there probably nobody that hasn't seen Phantom at least once. If you look at that whole production, aside from the underground cavern and all this stuff and the drop from the catwalk or whatever it is he goes through, then there's that whole big staircase where they do masquerade and half of the people on there are dummies.
We're dummies,
you know, literally dummies, not just stupid, but literally dummies.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just a huge big production, and unless a school could raise the extracurricular money to do it, I just can't see too many of them around here jumping on that.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, you never know, we'll see.
Okay. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode of Theater Geeks. Remember to stop by the Theater Geeks store and get yourself a hat, get yourself a shirt, get yourself a cup or a mug or something like that. That's at www.theatergeeks.com/store. And be sure to stop by the Theater Geeks website as well and look at all the other good stuff that's there. Follow us on Twitter. Damn it. Follow us on Twitter. We are on Twitter.
Well, and maybe we should start.
Theater Geeks is on Twitter.
I just Facebooked. Are you kidding? I'm coming out of the cave.
Yeah, well, okay. that's, and we, yes, we also have, well, there is a Facebook page for Theater Geeks as well. So you can find us in any one of a number of different places. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks. We are going to edit some of that crap out, aren't we, David?
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.